The city council is going to come to order. The clerk will call the roll. Here.
Mr. Qualley?
Here.
Mr. Gallucci?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McAllister?
Present.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
I am present.
We raise for the national anthem and also the salute to the flag, and if Councilman Howe could do that for us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and a rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air. Still there, oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free?
I have a motion to open the public hearing. Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Howe. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? We're going to pick up where we left off on police on page 29. And I believe we're into some questions. I think was Councilman Lattiser had the floor when we adjourned.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Don't we have to act to hold the pending pieces of legislation?
No, we continue those till Saturday.
Thank you.
At the last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chief, the question was going to be on the overtime for the dispatchers. The budget was for $120,000, and you're ending up with a projected number of 220. Why is there such a big increase in overtime for dispatchers? And on the electricity item 3224, you're projecting out to use $95,000 in electricity. As of May 1st, you were $71,000. So that's a pretty big swing. It's $24,000 to be used in 2 months when you were averaging $7,123 a month.
Thank you.
Okay. We were at 103,000.
And last question, Major. Do all of your police vehicles have GPSs in them?
No, they do not.
Do any of your vehicles have GPSs in them?
No, they do not.
Okay. That's all the questions I have, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, Major. On the auto and vehicle maintenance, I've seen that one up. Is that because our vehicles are older?
That is part of it.
I see an increase. How many vehicles are we talking?
Well, we have we have several different types of vehicles, but we have approximately around 100 vehicles for the entire department. Many of our vehicles are old. I would say the $10,000 increase was partly due to vehicles needing original equipment manufacturer parts, and we anticipate various auto parts may go up. The garage also is seeking to purchase a new wheel balancer, which they need, which is almost $9,000, an additional tire changer to replace the aging one they have now. That's another $9,000, and also a refrigerant recovery recycling recharging machine, which is about $3,300. We know that we can't get all of that, but with a $10,000 increase to the budget, we're hoping to at least purchase one of those items as well as account for some of the aging vehicle repairs.
Okay. And on my vacancy list, I know it said, and I'm sure this is what we talked about last night, it said 12 patrol officers were going to be vacant by June 30th. But those are the nine people that you're talking about coming into the academy would be out of that 12?
Those nine that are slated to go to the academy at the end of August will, you know, those are the ones we're talking about. Those are nine of the 19.
Okay. Because it said there will be 12 vacancies.
Excuse me, that will be, we're projecting right now that will raise us from the 164 up to 173. And then, of course, what I just can't predict, the variable that nobody can predict here is the retirements.
Right.
We have to react to the retirements. And that's probably it's part of the frustrating thing. I mean, we certainly put out a blurb every year to the officers. If you're thinking about retiring, we would appreciate a courtesy heads up so it helps our planning. But some people, suddenly, they're in a situation where a job opportunity becomes available or something else in their life happens that causes them to retire. I mean, certainly it's their prerogative, first of all. It's nothing that the administration can force on them. So we have to live with that variable that's very fluctuating. But we try to do the best projections possible.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council members? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Good evening. Just a question on the line item 3335, medical expenses. Is that for the recruits?
That's correct. It's for all new hires. It's for all new hires, and
all
it
new.
Includes psychological testing and also medical testing. We did, in years past, require medical testing for promoted individuals already on the job, and we've reduced those costs by eliminating those testing.
Okay. And the line item on supplies, computers, 231, those are out of that line item. Is that like those heavy-duty laptops that we're putting in the police cars and stuff? I know you're trying to...
Right. Laptops as well as the desktop computers at the station.
At the station, yeah. And we're replacing them as we go, so we're not have to do a huge thing
That's
in
correct.
One year.
Buy a certain amount every year in hopes to continuously rotate them.
It's part of the plan to go
Absolutely.
Forward. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Is there any other questions from the council on police? If not, are there any questions from the public on police? Yes.
Hi, Jen Moffitt, Ward 8. I had a couple of questions. You had brought up something yesterday about school safety. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about it. So one of the things I think we're all concerned about is school safety with everything that's going on.
Can't hear.
That's okay. Okay. No, that's fine. Oh, yeah, that's much better. That's okay. So one of the things that we're all concerned about, I think we can all be in agreement that the State House isn't being very proactive about this. I have one bill that I've been able to find so far. It's a little leery about what exactly it's... It looks like it's a great idea as far as the resource officers, but then I believe there's some other things here that concern me. My question is that my concern is they're not going to get on top of this before the end of the session. There's not enough time. So I feel like the city is going to have to pick up the slack on that. Now, I know Warwick has always been pretty good. My boys have already gone through Tollgate. My daughter's there now. We have resource officers there. But I feel like there's always room for improvement. My question, you mentioned that you had some ideas and some things. Are those already built into the budget now, or were those things that you were projecting you may have to do if these laws go through?
Well, first of all, let's talk for 1 second. We'll just quickly review. We have police officers full-time at our high schools and our junior high schools, because that's where most of your serious problems occur. Okay? The Patrol Bureau handles, we have what we call a ramp program, that during, as soon as they go out in the street, the day patrol, they conduct checks on all the elementary schools. And they go back and forth all day in between calls, they go back. Now, I'll look at you and say, that's not the best thing, but when you're trying to balance off the cost, but at the same time realize we're talking about our most precious thing on planet Earth, and I could tell you're a mother, so I know you understand what I'm talking about. I'm a grandfather, so we're thinking along the same lines. Now, what we are going to do is I have been in contact with the school superintendent. We are going to raise the TO. No matter what happens here at budget time, I'm committed to reinforcing the school squad. We will put those two people where we think we can best serve. I don't want to give away the plan as to, because obviously transparency is a great thing, but we don't want to be so transparent that the bad guy is not thinking about what we're doing here. I can tell you at the state level, this week at House Judiciary and the week before at Senate Judiciary, I believe. And I also think the bill was at House Finance. I talked to Representative Solomon about this the other day. They are trying to pass what they call a School Safety Act. Okay, and that bill is pretty all-encompassing. Now, my concerns are that, although I was glad to see that they had a fiscal note there, because they are trying to come up with different modes of paying for the officers, and they also set a TO, a table of organization, for how they would envision this school squad would look like. They would have a sort of a supervisor who had a certain level of experience, and all these officers would have to be trained a certain way. I think where the concern comes is that how long would it take for all these funding vehicles to get in place? Because the realistic, when we're looking at realistically, we would have to cover the elementary schools full time. Now, I'm not opposed to that, but that's a perfect world situation. I do think that our Patrol Bureau is doing a good job with what they're doing. And certainly any time, and I have discussed this with the mayor, and he's brand new, so we're bouncing ideas off each other, and like I said, he's got a full plate right now. But we've certainly given some ideas, because school security right now is way up there.
I was mainly concerned because in the journal, which we can all take with a grain of salt, they had indicated that this was not supported by the chief of police.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm not going to say I'm not supportive. I think we had some concerns.
Right. Well, certain parts of it. Okay.
Everybody's in a financial situation. All of a sudden, if they're talking about you, where are you going to come up with the money? I mean, we saw the fiscal note, but the reality is the different funding vehicles, like they wanted to use state asset forfeiture. Well, state asset forfeiture, a certain percentage of it, you know, that depends upon how many cases you generate. So you're never really going to know how much money is going to go in there. They were talking about court fees, a certain percentage of the court fees being used to support it. I just think that the police chiefs are not necessarily opposed as much as they've got some concerns. And like I said, I would have to all of a sudden raise my TO, come back in here, and maybe talk to the council if they did pass that as a state law, and say, if I now have to cover all the elementary schools, so I'm watching this bill very carefully. I've discussed it with the mayor, discussed it with the chief of staff, and that's why I want to make sure that this council knows about the bill. I don't know where it's going yet. There's still a month left here.
And it looks as though even if it goes through, it won't go into effect until next July anyways, which would give us the time. So
it probably needs to get some time.
So that's where my concern was. Like, in the meantime, do we have some plans? Okay, that's good. The other thing I wanted to ask was, I know you mentioned about community. You have a good relationship with some people in the community to help with more social aspects of that. I'm wondering, is that something that parents and the community, the citizens can be involved in, or is that something that strictly, maybe I can touch base with you to find out, because I'm very interested in finding some more ways in working. We think we need to all be more engaged. I think we've become very disengaged in the last decade or so. I've seen it just in the change since my kids first started. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm very interested in finding ways to try to re-engage the community in this. And so if we can work together, that would be something I'm very interested in.
A year down at the station where we got all the citizens groups together and we bounced ideas around. So where we work is at the neighborhood level.
Exactly.
That's where it works best. If
right.
The neighborhood has a neighborhood group, whether it's Huntington does a great job, Oakland Beach does a great job, Connecticut does a great job, Norwood, they all meet regularly, they get federal grants. Our community police officers meet with them, they give them a rundown of the crime in the neighborhood, what they should be looking out for. They may want to have crime tips. We may bring in detectives to talk to them about all kinds of different issues, sex offenders, all the things that everybody's concerned about today. So that's a good start for you to think about. And we could certainly make some suggestions to you.
Okay. Well, I just want to say I want to thank you, because I will say that my kids, having grown up in the Tollgate school system, have felt very safe. I think we've had very good experiences. I think there's been a few things in the last year that have kind of popped up that are concerning. So
you know those trials will continue.
I know.
Kids, things will happen. We have social media today. All of a sudden, something gets on social media.
Yeah.
And it's up to the police to work with the school department and the teachers to try to find out what's this problem really all about. Because it's like the Holy Trinity. There's the school, there's the parents, and the children. If you get on the problem right away, you can usually contain it. But when somebody comes home and tells mom and dad, look what happened to me at school today, now we have to spend that whole period of time taking a report from the parents and think, oh my God, what happened to my child in school? Now we've got to go back and we have to investigate it, and then we've got to find out what was the real problem. Is it a criminal problem, or is it something that we need to work with other resources? Maybe we have to work with the school staff, the counselors, to see if we can work that. Because we're talking about children.
Right. Well, that's my other concern. I think it's something that came up 2 days ago at the school budget meeting. One of the things that we're finding is there's a lot of cuts going on from that level, the social level. And I'm sure that hurts you guys just as much because it's making your job harder. So what I would ask is that when we're looking at the budget, if everybody can keep that in mind, and that including the council, the police, the fire, when we're talking about making cuts, we understand that's personal. I know, I'm a nurse. We've had a lot of cuts in the last few years. We understand that, but if you can please keep in mind that when we ask you to meet us in the middle on things, especially like with the health care and whatnot, it's because we need to find money to help with the other programs. We need to get more money into the social programs that can help, that only benefits everybody. So if we can get more social services helping these kids, and working together with you makes your job a little easier, makes our schools better, makes them more.
That's why we're going
to get
progress.
Exactly.
You know, Kent Hospital,
right.
Working right in the police department, so we can work on the people, all the behavioral problems.
Well, I think that's good, and I'd like to see more of that happen. I'd like to see. So if we can all keep that in mind when we're talking about our budgets. I know it's hard. It's a tough situation. It's very, tense, but I think every one of us that gets into this job does it because we love people and we love our community and we want to help. And who runs into a building not knowing what you're going to see? So I just hope we can all keep that in mind when we're talking about budgets and where we can make cuts. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
Is Mike?
Yes.
Stacia Hyler, Ward 9. Chief, I just wanted to say thank you for everything that you do, and also to Major Connor. Your work is greatly appreciated in our community. You've been very helpful, even when we've been out there protesting for the right reasons. You've worked with the community, and it's greatly appreciated. I just want you both to know that. And my question is, because this is feedback really coming from people that can't be here tonight. There seems to be an increase in bullying in our school system. I think you know this better than anybody else. How closely do you work with the Warwick Public Schools, your presence as police officers going in, educating the students, or just bringing speakers in or talking about this topic? How involved are you with the Warwick Public Schools?
The SROs, the school, one of their responsibilities when they're in the schools is to give classes, and obviously bullying is a big issue. And that's probably one of those problems that I described in this Holy Trinity aspect. Sometimes the child doesn't say anything to the teacher, comes home and then tells mom and dad, well, I'm always being picked on. Now they get a hold of us, and then of course we have to follow up on it and try to get it. Where do we take that problem? How do we deal with the problem? We don't want to turn it into a criminal problem, because obviously we want to try to work with, the social service people that are within the schools that are very well trained to work on this problem. So you certainly have identified a problem that needs continual work, because children are children. Some people have strong personalities and they sort of take that personality and they want to dominate somebody who doesn't have that strong personality, and that's where you get into the bullying. And so that has to be worked on.
Thank you. Where, if we could improve on three things, in your opinion, what would it be? Where could we improve?
Well, I think one thing I would say is mental health. That is a huge problem. The calls for service that we're getting in today's society, it manifests itself in so many different ways. The percentages of our calls is getting bigger and bigger. Sometimes they can be easily solved because our team can get on top of it. Sometimes you can end up with a hostage situation or a barricaded suspect, somebody who's reached the end of their tether. We had a situation over in Ward 6 about a year and a half ago that I know Councilwoman Travis remembers very well, where a man was at the end of his tether and fired two shots at his daughter and his wife. And I can remember we had a big standoff when we finally talked him down and we brought him out of the house. And I know at that time Major Connor was the operations officer, so he ran the operations end of it. But I can remember coming up to the guy as we took him out and we had him handcuffed and we were taken back. He looks at me and he says, "Chief, I'm sorry." Okay, buddy, listen, I understand, okay? Just, you understand we have to hold you accountable, so you are gonna have to deal with the courts. But the nice things about the courts today is they're a little bit more benevolent when they see a situation that has to be treated a little bit more benevolently. So when somebody has a mental health problem, they try to recognize that and get that person and put him on some parameters, because he's been under arrest, he fired two shots. That's pretty serious. Okay, what if it hit them, and then we would have had a real serious problem. So that's just an example of a situation that can get really out of control when a person has a mental health problem. These are the kind of things that we're dealing with every single day out there, and it manifests itself in so many different ways. It's really changed the law enforcement paradigm. Well, the school safety, it's the... Well, I think the other thing is, once again, in my byword is, it's got to be the neighborhoods. The neighborhoods are very important, okay? And that's why we have to work closely with our elected officials, because they're one vehicle that lets us know about problems, even if it's a quality of life problem. Quality of life problems are probably just as big as criminal problems. In fact, when I hear policemen out there dealing with a criminal problem, I don't worry about it too much. You'll actually find out that the quality of life problem ends up being more serious in the neighborhood than the criminal problem is. That's hard to digest. But trust me, when you're a policeman and you're trying to negotiate between two neighbors that can't get along because they're worried about a boundary line, but it happens, and it happens very frequently. Or he's throwing his garbage in my yard, and we've got to take time out to deal with those kinds of problems.
Chief, I was going to try and get a little bit back on topic, otherwise we're going to be here all night, and I appreciate the questions. But at the end of the day on Saturday, I just want to remind everybody, we're actually looking at the line items we have to cut. So, and I realize that this is a chance that you get that you don't get all year round. But hopefully under, you know, the new administration, if we have, you know, questions like this, we're going to have access. But I'd like to keep it on time if you have other questions. I think he answered your three. Yeah,
he did. One last thing I didn't touch upon, animal control. Your officers, they also do an excellent job, even alongside the police officers, and that's greatly appreciated. I would even say you need one more, but that's just me, maybe a part-time animal control officer. And I do have a last question. Do you plan on making a cameo in live PD program? We're all wanting to know. No? Yes? I have to ask. It's going to be a big Friday night.
I'm trying to be polite.
I'm going to be watching a big Friday night premiere. The question had to be asked. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So if there's no more questions on police, we're going to go to police grants, which is on page 34. Looks like it's pretty much the same as last year, except.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. Okay. And these are the grant programs, grant writer rights, and hopefully. You get that. Okay.
Grants and a highway safety grant.
Thank you. Any questions from council members on grants? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. On the Office of Highway Safety, it said time frame October 1st, 2017 to September 30th, 2018, $120,261.92 was broke down to like $30,000 was for driving law enforcement. I think $16,000 for seatbelts. Out of that, how much do we have left out of that grant? I know it was broken down into like eight different.
Yeah, we're getting towards the end of that grant. Okay. In fact, I just signed the paperwork for the new grant that should be coming out in August. So certainly we will probably get about the same amount of money for next year.
That's great. You did some great services with that money. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Corley.
Chief, I have one question relating to the schools and the, I see here the capital expenditure for Homeland Security. Is that under the police purview?
That will be heard under emergency management. That'll be Chief Fontenot will be handling that one.
But I just have one question concerning the security cameras at the schools. Are they monitored at the police department?
We have the ability to monitor that. If when we work closely with the school, they can turn it on so we can take a look at it. That's mutual. That's the mutual link system, which I believe most of you are somewhat familiar with.
Yes. Well, I have one question, and that was there was an incident at the local elementary school where there was a car that was vandalized that was 20 feet from the entrance to the building. And I found out from the school that the only thing that the camera captured was the entranceway. And I just had some concern that is it simply a matter of changing the angles of some of the cameras, because it seems to me that it would be a good practice to be able to monitor the curtilage around the school so that if there were some people that were coming onto the grounds with ill intent, there was some notice rather than waiting until they used a battering ram to knock in the door.
I'll try to make the answer short because I know it's not a budget question, but it's an important question. We'll work with the schools. The schools run it. If we need to go there and make some recommendations about the area of coverage, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you. And I just wanted to answer the nurse mom's question about the red flag legislation. It is scheduled to be signed tomorrow at 11:30 on the south lawn of the State House. It is projected to be passed by both houses today, and they've already set up a bill signing ceremony for 11:30 tomorrow on the south lawn of the State House.
Thank you. Any other council members have questions regarding grants? Any members of the public have any questions regarding grants? If not, we'll move on to Board of Public Safety, page 40.
I'll handle that also, Mr. President.
Okay. I would assume that's the budget for the members of the board?
That is correct, sir.
And it really consists of salaries?
There's some overtime built in there, but that's just to take care of some of the more complicated problems.
And it's $300 for supplies. $300 for supplies and office equipment. And there's three members of the Board of Public Safety?
Yes, sir, there is.
Okay. Is there any questions on the Board of Public Safety from council members? Any questions from the public on the Board of Public Safety? If not, we can move on to alcohol and highway enforcement on page 33.
Mr. President, those grants have pretty much gone away with the state. So we're really incorporating that into the highway safety grant, where we work, with the DUI patrols as far as driving is concerned. I believe the schools have things for the underage thing, but I believe that falls under school grants.
I noticed you projected to spend $3,000 on line item 32-134.
That is correct.
And you budgeted $10,000.
That's correct.
Any other questions on that line item? Councilman Corley.
Can you please describe what Blue Riptide grant means?
Which one? I'm sorry, Councilman.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 32-133. I just don't recognize the lingo.
32-133.
The blue.
That's the Riptide grant.
Right.
That's another one of those that falls under the highway safety.
Okay. I'm just curious about the name as
to the DUI. It handles the DUIs.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, any questions from the public? If not, let's move on to organized crime and drug enforcement, page 32.
Mr. President, that basically covers the officers we have on the task force. We have one with the FBI, and we have one with the DEA full times, and it covers their overtime expenses when they get involved in investigations.
And I see that budget is $21,500.
Right. That's paid by the federal government.
Federal, okay.
And we get reimbursed.
So, council members, any questions on this one? Public, any questions on this one? It's pretty self-explanatory. Okay. So we'll move on to the Sewer Review Board, which is page 67, which is different from the sewer department. which is will come up after that. Who's going to be handling the sewer board? Brian, okay. I think that budget's a whopping $2,000. And is that just this $1,800? It looks like we're going to spend $1,800 this year.
Yes, Mr. President.
And is that for board members? Salaries?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, and looks like there's $200 for expenses in there.
Correct.
So any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Okay, why don't we move on to the sewer department. Janine?
Thank you, Council President.
Janine, just before we start here, and sometimes we get lost in the trees occasionally. We don't actually vote on your budget. You come here as a courtesy to us because you raise your own revenues and you spend your own revenues. So this, whatever you're telling us here tonight, doesn't impact our tax rate. I know there is some crossover with some benefits for retirees, which I'm sure somebody will ask about. But as far as raising revenue and spending it, you folks are in charge of that. You have your own separate meetings, your own separate public hearings, correct?
That is absolutely correct. So okay. The board takes action and the mayor advises and consents. That's the process.
Okay.
And we did have a public hearing on this. The board has approved this budget proposed for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019, in the total amount of $21,120,290, which is about a slight decrease from the previous fiscal year. The budget does not include any rate increases. I would say it's a good budget. It's not a great budget, because we were not able to include capital projects in the budget this year. But we have been building up that renewal and replacement fund, so we're going to have to rely on that for a few years because projections in fiscal year 21 are very positive. We have significant debt that's dropping off at that time. So we're trying to hold the line on rates and not make them go up and down until we get to that point 2 years out.
Any new positions?
No new positions being requested, and I have heard the standard questions about vacancies. We currently have a vacant clerk's position, a vacant mechanic one position, and I understand as of tomorrow, one of our collection system inspectors will be officially retired, so we will have that vacancy as well.
And what about salary increases?
Other than the budgeted estimate for the contractual increases, there are none in this budget.
Okay. Any questions from council members? Councilman Lattisaw.
Janine, I'm just going to go over that question you just answered again. On 80-101, salaries for municipal, right now, or I should say as of May 1st, you're showing $1,792,471 in payroll. There's nothing encumbered, and you're projecting out for the year end $2,105,000. So how does this go from up $300,000?
I would defer to finance, although they did get our input on the end of year projections. That looks like a good number to me. It is a little short of our budget, but that's due to retirements and time spans where we weren't paying someone. We had like right now, we had a vacancy.
And you're projecting out for 2019 a budget of $2,300,000. And that increase, is that strictly for STEP and longevity?
Correct. There's a separate line item that includes the contractual obligation estimate for pay increases. So, yes, any increase from last year would be due to increased longevity payments. It's really not a big increase.
8296, grinder pumps. You have a budget of 160,000, and excuse me, that's up significantly from what you had in 2017. I think I know the reason why, but I'd like to hear it from you.
The reason why is previously, and I don't know how far back it goes, we had a fund, some money in a fund left over from one of our borrowings that we were using to purchase grinder pumps in bulk for some of these projects. I think it was as a result of an audit. We were told that wasn't what we should be using the money for, that we had to put it in our budget. So I would say the last 3 or 4 years we've tried to budget an amount. Originally wasn't a good budget number, but it's gone up, and that's a real number.
So I'm also assuming that the increase numbers for the grinder pumps is because of the newest sewer installs that you're doing?
The new sewer installs, we're still speaking with Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank to see if we can borrow the money, especially in your ward. I mean, that number of pumps is probably $3 million, and we're not going to be able to budget for that. So this is really for filling in connections that haven't connected yet that we owe grinder pumps to.
And speaking of my ward, the other day there was, I would call it, any gas leak is serious. I would call this a significant gas leak because a pipe was broken. Tell us about that. I know the version I heard. I want to hear the version that you
told. I was told by the engineers that the gas company had mismarked their line location by about 5 feet, and our contractor, who's out there still doing borings for the design work, hit a gas line that was not marked. But National Grid responded and repaired the line fairly quickly, I understand.
So then having, whether it be on WSA's side or the subcontractors, and you folks did your job, and you had the grid go out there, DigSafe go out there and mark the road. And essentially, they messed up, and the line, the marks were 5 feet off. I get it. I understand that. My question is, who is paying from the time they hit that pipe to the time that was fixed and put back together again, who is paying for that? I definitely do not expect my constituents to be paying for that in the cost of their sewers, nor should the taxpayers be paying for that, because we did our job.
Yes.
The grid screwed up, not us.
I will be happy to follow up on that and make sure that is, in fact, that would be my understanding as well. I'm assuming the boring contractor was able to continue with their work that day, but if they were sitting on their hands, I'd have to find out what their expectations were, but we would
not.
Well,
I'm sure
that was not our fault.
I'm sure they weren't continuing to work, to drill, and to do sparks and create sparks.
Not in that
area. When I was in the Draper building that morning, I could smell the gas in that building. And then we had the cost of making the repairs. So I've learned a long time ago that if you want to assume, you're taking the risk of being wrong. I want to make sure that my constituents are not paying 5 cents for that, and I want to make sure the taxpayers of the city of Warwick are not paying 5 cents for it, and whoever did the DigSafe markings is paying for it. So if you could follow up on that and let me know.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
I would appreciate it.
I agree. You can't assume.
Talking on Ward 5 again, I know we're continuing to do archaeological work there, et cetera. In 2013, as you know, we passed that bond to do the sewers in 6 different areas. And we are now in 2018. And my constituents in that area, some, I think, 800 or 900 who are going to be getting sewers, obviously are getting quite anxious at this point as to when we're going to start installing pipe. Because of information that I was given, last year I had told them, later on in the spring, I told them there's a good chance in 2018 that we're going to start dropping pipe. So when is it on the schedule to start dropping pipe? Because we have an agreement with DEM of that deferment to 2020.
2019 is going to be the Bayside construction project. Right now we have Governor Francis Farms, and we're going to be putting out a bid for the last phase of East Natick. So two projects this year and two projects next year is about what we can handle. And Bayside is moving right along. We had a huge milestone with the completion of the archaeological study. And the rest of this year will be spent doing the final design work, determining where the services are, and we should have bids and specifications ready to go out to bid in the spring.
Do you also, are you also prepared and have a site prepared, a location prepared for all your staging of equipment and materials, et cetera, because I don't want any trees cut in my ward.
Okay. Not at this time. You're a little premature with that question, but I'm writing down your concern.
Thank you. So I just look forward to receiving those answers. Thank you, Director. That's it, Mr.
Councilman.
President.
Councilman Corley.
Janine, I have a couple of questions. Under the debt service, I'm looking at $85.61, the principal.
Yes.
It says that projected as of June 30th, it should be $10,963,000 and some odd dollars. And then it's budgeted for $11,249, which is more than it was at the beginning of the year. I don't understand.
That's new loans coming due, so project loans, money we borrowed for the project in your ward, those principal payments are starting to come due now.
So there was money that, there was more debt that was tapped into in order to go forward. Is that what that means?
Yes. Yep. We continue to borrow money to construct sewers and upgrade the plant and the levee, and that's our basically our mortgage payment. That's what that is.
Okay. So
we refinanced recently, but
that was that accessing bond money, or is that where it came from?
Yes. And some of it's older, from the late 90s, early 2000s, that we're still paying on. And actually, that's the reason why you see the interest amounts going down, because some of, again, this year we had a bond come off. But the principal amount is going up because we're borrowing more money. It's like a home construction loan. They give you like a line of credit. And until you draw down all of it, you don't start paying on the interest. You just pay a small amount in an administrative fee.
No, I understand that we may have a $100 million bond and you may take $10 million 10 times so that you still have bond money that is available for sewer projects that you have not accessed yet. Is that correct?
That is correct. And if you refer to my quarterly reports, I give you the exact amount remaining that we have authorization for.
Okay. My question was, looking at the debt interest, it is over $2 million for a $11 million principal, and that seems to me to be a pretty high annual interest rate. What is the interest rate?
Generally, we've been getting in the high twos. And I actually, you know what? I have an excerpt from the audit that shows the interest rates we paid on every different bond that we borrowed. I'd be happy to give that to you.
Okay,
but those are only the principal payments. We have like $88 million in debt. That's only the annual principal payment. So the interest is on $88 million, not 11.
Okay, so it's not on the debt principal that's reflected in this document. It's on a larger debt, because the $2 million in comparison to 11 is not 2%. It's closer to 20% than 2.
Yeah, it's single digits, and I'll find that information and give it to you. May I approach the councilman with this information?
Sure.
Okay.
Might want to use a mic if you're explaining something.
So the highest is 4.85%, and that was back in 2008. But these go all the way back to 1995, and you can see the various interest rates.
So you're saying that some of the debt that was retired that goes back to 1995, the principal has been retired, but we still have to pay interest? I don't follow
that. No, the entire payment's gone away now, but a significant amount was continuing to be interest.
Okay, I can follow up with you that. Follow up to understand that with you in a personal meeting.
Absolutely.
Another question I had is, and this may be because of my just lack of knowledge. The personnel that you have, it looks like there's 23 people that are part of a bargaining unit. Are they municipal employees, or what are they?
Yes, City of Warwick employees.
And which union is that?
Ask me, Council 91.
Okay, so even though the sewer authority is not part of the city government, we, at least for funding purposes, some of the staff are Warwick municipal employees. Is that right?
All the staff are paid by the City of Warwick and are part of the same bargaining unit.
But they're paid out of the revenues that you raise, or are they paid out of the tax dollars that all of the rest of the city employees are paid from?
They are paid out of the sewer use revenues, and we also pay fringe benefits. And I think we straightened out the pension contributions for existing employees. So we make all those payments on their behalf. We're an enterprise fund, and we're supposed to cover all of our costs. And we pay the city, there's a line item here, administrative charges. We pay the city to process our payroll, help us with personnel issues, pay our bills, all of those services that you're providing, but we pay for because we're supposed to cover our costs.
I understand what you're saying. I just want to make sure that I am correct that all of the funds that you use to install the sewers, to run the sewers, and to pay the people that work in the sewer authority are paid from money that's collected by or generated by the sewer authority, and it is a self-sustaining part of the Warwick City government. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And do you administer that retirement as well?
No, I don't. I know we contribute for current employees, and there's a calculation that's done, and whatever they tell us to contribute is what we contribute. It's part of that fringe benefits line item under the salaries, 80, 154. You see, that's a significant number there. That's all of the benefits, including the 40% or so of health care, pension.
Can I just have 1 second? One other question. If I can't remember, it can't be that important. Thank you.
You're welcome.
On line item 80399, services other, what does that entail? There's a large increase in the proposed budget.
So the big one, it contains services like our Kent County Water. We have to pay Kent County Water. Roof repairs this year is the big, an additional $20,000 for some roof repairs out of other services and some HVAC repairs. And then also coming out of that other services line item, and this is the same as in the past, it's $25,000 a year for root control, a chemical root control that we use mostly in Greenwood to prevent roots from blocking the sewer lines or backing up into folks. So it went up about $20,000, $24,000 from last year, and that's due to the roof repair and the HVAC repair for the operations building.
Can you say it one more time?
The roof repairs and the HVAC repairs to the operations building that we have planned for next fiscal year.
So that's why it went up.
That was the big jump up.
And how many positions do you currently have open, including the one that would be, you said someone's retiring?
Three.
And what are those positions again?
Billing clerk, mechanic grade one, and sewer system inspector.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from council members? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, Janine, on line 80392 in engineering services, that went down. What was the reason for that?
I'll tell you what the difference is. We've actually, when we went through our budget, we eliminated services that were being provided by specialty collection system advisor. He was helping us with the odor control issues in Cedar Swamp area, and that was probably $40,000 a year. So we had to cut that.
You cut it. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from council members? Any questions from the public? Yes.
Good evening, Janine. Roy Dempsey, Ward 1. It is the enterprise fund is balanced, of course, as submitted. But I'm wondering, you just came out with a significant change in your incentive program, which when I read it, I thought it was a heck of a job, and I appreciate it as a homeowner. I mean, it's hard for me to say, but I usually come up and criticize things, but I think that was a good approach. But in terms of the budget going forward, have you considered that this is going to work in terms of, was it used in terms of balancing your revenues this year? Have you had any interest regarding that program? Have you seen interest, and have you factored in that interest going forward in your revenue stream?
Thank you. Good questions. It's not currently factored into our revenue streams, but a year from now it will be. And that was the intent. The revenue's not coming in now. The idea was to kind of incentivize people. And it's a pilot program, and we're not sure yet if it's that much of an incentive to get people to connect, but we're taking a look at it. We've gotten a lot of calls about it. And basically, unless somebody was previously ordered to connect, everybody from March 25th forward that's connecting is getting 1 free year's sewer usage. But I like the kid, but that's the gift that keeps giving. So that once we get those folks, if we can get them to connect to the system, those revenues will continue to come in. Actually, what we're finding is, like I said, we got a lot of phone calls, and we're finding it was a good exercise to go through. We had a list of mailed out about 1,600 letters, and we're not finding huge numbers, but we're finding people that are calling saying, I think I'm connected. I thought I was connected. And we don't know. We haven't figured out if it was records that got lost on our part or if they did it without us knowing. But those folks will get billed, and we'll back bill them as well. So we're finding some of that. And so it's been an excellent exercise. The jury's out on whether it's actually an incentive to get people to connect, but certainly anyone that does the rest of this year will have that 1 year free usage.
Stacia Heiler, Ward 9. Janine, I'm asking these questions actually for other people that could not be here tonight. The first one is, we recently heard that the Governor Francis Phase 3 sewer project, that they received a notice that their original estimate for the assessment for sewer construction has increased. Is this true? If so, how much?
I believe since we had the public meeting, it's gone up maybe around $1,000, and it's because we did open bids, we have actual costs, and those were factored in. And the rate into the rate consultant's final study. Like $21,000. And I'd be happy to share the rate study where we did the calculation on that for you.
Okay, so we're up to $21,000 per household, and that's for Governor Francis Phase 3. What is the interest rate on that to pay that back, please?
I'm sorry I didn't bring the exact figure, Stacia, but it's approximately 3.2%.
I know that this has come up many times before, but especially during a budget hearing, I think we should have all the numbers in front of us when we ask these questions, especially for a budget that we're looking at like this. Next question. Let's see here. A homeowner messaged me from Oakland Beach area.
Oops,
Susie. He says, in 2013, I bought my house in Oakland Beach. I noticed quickly that I had a sewer cap in my yard, but didn't think much of it. 2 years later, there was an alarm going off in my house, and it was because I had a grinder pump that had failed. This is connected to the house and helps pump sewage into the system. This is also the system that they are considering for the homes in Governor Francis. There was a number for me to call, F.R. Mahoney and Associates, on the box, not the City of Warwick. So I called and paid $2,500 for a new pump and a 2-year warranty. Usually these pumps last 10 to 20 years, and this weekend, again, the alarm went off. I am out of the 2-year warranty and now have to pay $150 for this company to come out, $90 an hour, including parts. Little did I know, but if I called the Warwick Sewer Authority back in 2015, they had an agreement through this company to extend the warranty for 5 years, which would mean this would be for free. This service would be for free. I called the Warwick Sewer Authority and F.R. Mahoney, and they both said that I am stuck with the bill since no one told me that the Warwick Sewer Authority covers this.
Stacia, sorry to interrupt you. We forwarded that on to Janine, and Janine answered us today and is helping the constituent.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can I get an answer? Because I had no idea that this happened.
That's why I interrupted you.
Thank you. For the record, I'd like to hear what the answer is so everybody else in the Oakland Beach area knows, and everybody else that has grinder pumps, what's going on here with this situation and what's the right answer to give to people. Thank you. Please answer the question.
Sorry. Yeah,
hear the answer to this question here publicly tonight, please. What the answer is to the situation.
Yeah. Janine, can yeah.
Yes, the homeowner is responsible for maintaining their pumps in the City of Warwick. This particular situation was a little odd, and I think I will be able to get F.R. Mahoney to extend the WSA's 5-year warranty to this particular piece of equipment. What happened was, we have a very robust outreach effort with our grinder pump customers. Back in 2012, we did a mass mailing to all of them. Sent them the F.R. Mahoney stickers. It gave them some information about what to do when the lights go out, a bunch of information. And then subsequent to that, every new connection, they get a welcome letter with all those details. This particular situation, the man purchased the house in 2013, so he didn't get the 2012 letter. and he wasn't a new connection. He was purchasing a house with an existing connection. So as a result of this, we realize there's like a whole little sliver of people that we're missing in when we outreach them with this information. So
for the explanation, I have a few more questions. The tree removal incident that happened behind John Brown Francis, what was the total cost for that? What is going to be the total cost to replant the trees back to that situation, please?
The Warwick Sewer Authority did not receive a bill for the tree cutting, and I do not expect to receive the bill for tree cutting. Right now, we are working on plans with the neighbors, looking at a fall replanting. I would estimate about $30,000 for that project, and I can't tell you how it's going to get paid, but it's not going to get paid by the Governor Francis Farms. Right?
So the Governor Francis Farms ratepayers aren't going to pay for it. Somebody has to pay for that, right?
Yeah, and it's probably, it might be litigation. I don't know. And then, and if it is, then we can't talk about it, or she can't
talk about it. Is it in litigation?
Not yet.
Oh,
that's what she just...
But it may be going into litigation?
You
don't know? Okay, so we don't know if it's heading...
Not yet.
Okay. Copperfield's property, with the staging area that was relocated to that property that's right near the Spring Green Pond, did DEM come out and give you authorization to put the big massive piles of gravel and sand and all of the equipment? Did you have to get DEM authorization to put that staging area right next to Spring Green Pond?
I don't believe we had to get permission, but we do have a stormwater management control plan that's specific for that site. DEM has been out to inspect that site after we had the, again, another lucky incident with the truck tipping over. Yeah, we had a, it was not the contractor's truck, it was someone delivering product tipped over. But it was already set up with containment at that point, and actually they got it upright fairly quickly. And there was, DEM came out after that. I believe if you could get a report from them if you'd like.
How much are we paying right now today to fund the pensions and health care for sewer authority retirees? That's coming out of the City of Warwick General Fund budget.
Could you hand her the mic?
I can tell you that the employee benefits includes pension contributions for current employees. I would have to defer to the finance office with respect to the retirees, because that goes way back, but we did address it for current employees.
I'd like to know how much money coming out of our general fund budget, because we always hear how the sewer authority is an autonomous entity. That's how you just opened up this session.
With the exception of this.
Okay, so I'd like to know, and you said we're going to ask the questions we are. So how much is coming out of our general fund budget to pay for active and retired sewer authority employees for their pensions and their health care, please? Thank you.